The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Thank you, Dale. I appreciate that. Please pray. I'll fly out tomorrow morning to preach in New Orleans on Monday, Tuesday. I'll be back for the Wednesday evening Bible study here, but please pray if you will, as many pastors have been invited from the Louisiana area, and I love to be able to see some of those dear friends again and be able to be a help and a blessing. So if you'll pray for me, I would appreciate that so very, very much. Always pray the plane takes off safely, lands safely, and I'd appreciate that very much. Look at Acts chapter 5, will you? Acts chapter 5, look at verse 12. The Bible says, in the hands of the apostles, it says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. The Bible says, and of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. Verse 14, the Bible says, and the believers were, it says, the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. Then our text verse, as we read a moment ago in chapter 5 and verse 15, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. I want to speak tonight on what type of shadow are you casting? What type of shadow are you casting? It had been rumored about that these men had power with God, and who they would pray for, God would raise up, God would heal. Now, all of a sudden, the rumor spread widely. Those that had sick, those that were ill, those that had perhaps even terminal diseases, brought their friends, their neighbors, and their loved ones to be able to see one of these great men of God. They thought that, well, if he passes by, if the shadow just will fall on me, maybe I also would be made whole. So they were looking for the shadow. Now, I don't know how many people look for your shadow. I don't know how many people look to see, okay, what is he or she doing? I don't know how many people you influence, if you will, by the way that you live and the things that you do. We know this, that the word influenza, which is where we get the word flu, is also that which is cousin to influence. And by the way, if you don't hang around somebody that has the flu, the influenza, if you will, you'll probably not catch it from them. But if you hang around somebody that has that, there's a great possibility you just might catch it. The same thing is true about influence. You influence people many different ways in your life. I want to give you a couple of those ways that we influence people. Statement number one, by what we say, we influence people. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 17, the Bible says, he that speaketh truth, it says, showeth forth righteousness. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, the Bible says, the tongue of the wise is health. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 25, the Bible says, the true witness delivereth souls, but the deceitful witness speaketh lies. We have to be very, very careful about what we say. Let me tell you, as young people, words you should never say to your parents. You should never say to your parents, I don't think you love me. They are hurtful words, damaging words, and never should be uttered from your lips. You should never say to your parents, I think you hate me. Those are damaging words, cutting words, that ought never to be uttered from your lips. To your friends, you should never say, I don't think you care, or I don't think that you really have an interest. Maybe those words could be condemning words. Maybe those words would cause a person never to want to enter into a conversation with you again. You know, what you say does have influence. I'm reminded as I was soul winning in Gulfport, Mississippi, as I was preaching for Dr. Dan Carr. There was a young man that was getting ready to go on the mission field, so he thought. And we were soul winning in a park. It was a trailer park, and as we were soul winning in the trailer park, Mark looked at me, and he said, I just don't think I'm going to go to the mission field. And I said, why? He said, because preacher after preacher has discouraged me, said I ought not to go. I said, Mark, what do you believe God wants you to do? Well, he said, I believe God wants me to go. Then I said, forget the opinion of a man. Amen. And just decide to obey God. With just those few words, Mark Holmes took great courage and left after he raised his deputational funds in a hurry and is now serving on the mission field in Abuja, Nigeria, West Africa. And because of his service, there's been hundreds of pastors that's been influenced that has took their dried, dead-up churches and have turned them into fiery, soul-winning churches. And God just used one little conversation in a trailer park as he and I were soul-winning. What is that? That's called influence. What is that? That is being sure you say the right thing. Can I tell you what tonight? Don't ever try to hamper anybody from serving Jesus Christ. Right. Young man gets up to preach a sermon, thank God for him. Young lady gets up to sing, they mess up, that's fine. They'll be able to sing again if you encourage them. But if you discourage them, they may never sing again. All of a sudden, young person goes out soul winning, and they go soul winning, and they come back, and we might say that it's a dry run. But man, don't jump on their case, and don't discourage them. Hey, encourage them to go again and to share the gospel again. You would be amazed how God could use somebody if somebody else would just come along and give a word of encouragement. You know, you can be an influence. I'm saying you can cast the right type of shadow tonight simply by guarding what you say. I was preaching in the Philippines. I preached at Brother Leonardo Ribatan's church out in the country. There was a missionary sitting there that night. His name was Chris Murray. Chris Murray was sitting there that night, and I preached a message on don't jump out of your ship. And when I got done the message, Chris came up to me. He was bawling his eyes out. He said, tonight was going to be the night that we were going to go home. We were going to pack. We were going to leave. We're heading back to America. But that message, preacher, changed my life. He said, I'm not leaving. I'm not going back. He went, planted a successful church, started a Bible college, had young people graduate out of the Bible college. Hey, what was that? That was just one message. Let me take it back. There was a man years ago when I was 18 years of age that changed my life, and God used him. I was sitting in a tabernacle, 300 teenagers there that night, guys on one side, girls on the other side. I was listening to an evangelist by the name of Dr. Ron Riley. Dr. Riley got up to preach that night, and he preached a message called Sold Out Christians. I was sitting there that night as a long-haired teenager in a tent, a tabernacle, at the River Valley Ranch in Millers, Maryland. That night, God spoke to my heart, and I knew that that night I needed to become a sold-out teenager. I went to the altar that night. I didn't care if anybody else went to the altar that night. It didn't bother me. I got on my knees. I began to cry as an 18-year-old boy, and I poured my heart and my soul out to God, and I said, from this night forward, I'll give you everything that I've got. It doesn't matter where you put me. I'm giving you my total self. I went back to the house that night, and of course, this is in the 70s, maybe even before some of you were born, I don't know. But I remember back in those days, we had the 8-tracks. That kind of dates me a little bit, but we had the 8-tracks. And I remember all my rock and roll, hundreds and hundreds of dollars worth of rock and roll. I took out, I put it into a metal container. I took a sledgehammer. I destroyed every single one of them because I realized what an influence it was having in my life and how it was destroying me by what they were saying. But that night, God used Dr. Ryan Riley to preach that word of God. I'll ever be thankful for that message that he preached on Sold Out Christians. I bought that tape. I listened to it every time I got discouraged. I listened to the stories over and over again. I memorized the stories over and over again. And I said, yes, That's what I want to be. Yes, that's what I want to be. And I want to be that Christian that serves God and gives God every ounce of energy that I've got. And I gave myself to Christ that night. And every time I get discouraged, I'd put on that cassette tape that he was selling off of his table. And man, I would listen to that thing over and over again, over and over again. And I wore tape out number one, and I ordered another one. And I listened to it over and over again, and I wore out tape number two, and I ordered another one, and I listened to it over and over again, and I wore out tape number three, and I listened to another one over and over again. I went through five or six or seven tapes listening to the same message over and over again. Why? Because that's the message that God used to get a hold of my heart, and I said, that has to be me. I don't want to be a nominal Christian floating downstream with all the other dead fish. I don't want to be somebody that comes to church and you leave church the same way that you came. I don't want to be somebody that prays and never gets a prayer answered. I don't want to be somebody that comes to church and my heart is so hard and my life is so filled with misery and sin that God, through the Holy Ghost of God, cannot even get a hold of my heart. And so it's because of something that somebody said in a message, something that somebody preached in a message that changed my life. I'm saying this, you can cast the right type of shadow by the things that you say. Statement number two, by what you do, you can cast the right type of shadow. The Bible says in Psalm 77 and verse 12, the Bible says, I will meditate also, it says, of thy work, and talk, it says, of thy doings. Over in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 11, the Bible says, even a child is known by his doings. The book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 27, the Bible says, it says, do good unto them that hate you. James chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. All right? And so you and I ought to decide that we're going to say the right type of things. That's called casting the right type of shadow. You ought to decide tonight, along with I and others that will, that we're going to, by God's grace, do the right type of thing. By what you do, you can cast a shadow. There was a lighthouse keeper many years ago. He was there on the northeastern shoreline. He had a responsibility. That was when the ships were coming close to make sure that that which was the light was well fueled. He was supposed to use the oil just to make sure that it was well fueled, so that the light would shine brightest in the darkest of the night, so that the light would shine brightest in the most stormy night. Oh, but there was a lady that came by the lighthouse one night. Everything was calm and had been calm for several months. And she said, sir, could you please, you've not lit the light and had it shining in a long time at its brightest. You've not done that. You've just kept it at the bare minimum. It's not been a real dark night. The moon has been lit. The stars are shining bright. Certainly, you're not going to need that much oil. My family is without. Winter's getting ready to come in. Oh, could you just spare us a little bit of oil? Could you just give us a little bit of oil? Oh, he began to think about that. He thought, I could just give her a little bit of oil. All of a sudden, news passed by. One person after another person would come. He thought, I'll just give them a little bit. And he lost track of how much he gave. All of a sudden, a winter storm hit. When that winter storm hit, he tried to get the flame up very high so that the ships that was passing by could be able to see the rocky terrain. But he couldn't get it high enough. There wasn't enough oil. Soon that light began to go out. Those ships were destitute, not knowing which way to go, being carried by the rough turmoil sea and being forced upon the rocky cliffs. All of a sudden, there was hundreds that had died simply because a man did not do what he was supposed to do. I'm saying what you do does influence people. I don't think that you ought to go certain places. Why? Because what you do does influence people. I don't think it's wise for you to go down to bar to drink milk. Why? Because what you do does influence people. I don't think that you ought to be caught with a beer can in your hand or a whiskey can or a bottle in your hand. Why? Because what you do, it does influence people. I don't think you ought to have rock music in your possession. I just don't think you ought to have it. Why? Because what you do, it does influence people. Hey, whatever happened to God's people living pure? Whatever happened to God's people living right? Whatever happened to God's people saying, listen, I know that I serve a holy God, and because I serve a holy God, I need to be holy as he is holy. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Whatever happened to a young people that decided that having the power of God was more important than having prestige or popularity? We ought to decide tonight that we're going to say the right thing. We ought to decide tonight that we're going to do the right thing. Oh, I'm talking about casting a shadow tonight. We can do it by how we look. Hey, what about dressing up for something that's important to you instead of dressing down? Yeah. Brother Ginger sent me a, Brother Ginger, I think it was a post about somebody had something posted down here about you're supposed to pull your britches up. Did I see that? Right here in Dallas. They said you got to pull your britches up in order to come in the store. Well, you can say amen about that. Hey, that's a good thing. I remember being in a 7-Eleven years ago when I was an evangelist, and this boy is in front of me. I just couldn't help it. I just could not help it. I'm telling you, I don't know what overcame me. But, man, he was sarcastic. He was talking to the registrar, and just sarcastic, just real cool, punky-looking kid, and just, you know, sassing the person there. And he had his britches falling down right about here, showing his underwear. I mean, just had them right down there. Oh, there's some manliness that started to take apart. My soul just started to get a grip on me. Oh, it started in my toes and started to come up all the way up until my shoulders and finally hit my brain. And I thought, ooh, something's got to be done about that. And his mama's not around and his papa's not around and nobody cares about it. I just think I need to help the boy. And so I grabbed me a handful of britches. You said you shouldn't have did that, preacher. I don't know if I'd do it again or not, but I can tell you that night something overcame me. And I grabbed me a handful of britches and I pulled it up and I said, it's a shame. He said, what are you doing touching me? I said, I was touching you. Go home and get yourself a belt. Amen. By the way, if a child doesn't have the character to keep his britches up, you really think he's going to have the character to hold down a good job? Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying by the way that we look, somebody said this years ago, and I agree, that a casualty look is a short direction to becoming a personal casualty. Amen. Amen. We dress up for things important to us. We dress up for weddings. We dress up to honor the dead for funerals. Go to a fancy restaurant. Sometimes they'll even tell you how to dress or they won't let you in. Sure. You want to make a good impression and trying to get a good job, what do? You dress up. When I was in New York City, Tom Cairo and I, my wife will remember Tom, we would go down to the Manhattan bus station. See, kids thought they could run away to New York City because it was called the City of Fame. It's called the City of Lights. And they thought if they couldn't make it anywhere in the world, they could make it in New York. So they would run away from home. They wind up in New York City. We go down to the Manhattan bus station, and many of the pimps and the pushers, they would take their calling cards, and they'd put a quarter on the back of it, and they would put it, I think it was 10 cents back then, but they put money on the back of it, and they would put it in those telephone stations. And it said this on the front of the card, if you're cold and hungry, call us. We have room and board for free. They'd take that money off the back of that card. They put it in that telephone booth. They would make the phone call, calling the number. A pimp or a pusher would come by, give them soup that had drugs in it. It would fill their body full of drugs. And year after year in the 1980s, when I lived in Brooklyn, New York, you could go down to the harbor and you could count the bodies of the dead teenagers that was floating in the harbor, that came to New York City just because they thought it was a place where they could be able to put on a new look. where they'd be able to get some fame, where they'd be able to, and can I tell you, listen, those girls that they would have out there as hookers and prostitutes, we could always tell who they were. Why? They were displaying their goods. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If it's not for sale, take the for sale sign down. Why do you want to dress so tight to be able to allure some other guy? Don't do that. Hey, save yourself to that which is your husband or that which is your wife. Don't try and draw the wrong type of guy because you will. I'm saying this tonight. I'm saying by the way that we look. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 20 of the Bible says, for which I am an ambassador. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14, the Bible says, you are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, that's plural, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen, I'm saying this, if McDonald's has the sense to be able to have some dress standards that identifies them with the company that they work for, if Burger King does that, if Walmart does that, then pray tell me why in the world do you have a problem when the Church of the Living God does that? Yeah. I thank God for parents that teach their children how to dress right. Yeah. Come on, I'm saying this tonight, the way you look. The way you look, you can put dress on or an attire on that is so outrageously wrong that it draws the wrong type of, and that's with you guys too. Come on, you guys that wear these tight shirts and you're walking around like you're a hunk of what? You got this tight shirt walking around like, you know, look at me. We are. The only problem is we don't see much. Hey, why not wear something that's going to glorify God? Why not decide? Hey, listen, why don't we have some young people today that you decide that you're not ashamed to be called a fundamentalist? Why don't you decide that you're not ashamed to stand up for God? Let the world stand up for the world, but you stand up and do something for God. I'm saying tonight, by what we say, we cast a shadow. By what we do, we cast a shadow. By the way we look. Years ago, down in the Florida Keys, there was 300 whales that had decided to follow a stream of sardines. According to what was documented by a Frederick Braun Harris, he said the small fish lured the massive whales, giants of the sea, to their death. Why? It was simply because of a look. Now, I love you tonight, but you listen to me. And I do love you, but please listen to me. When a girl fixes herself in a way that draws your eyes, she is also drawing other guys' eyes. Hey, get a life. It's not just about you. When a guy all of a sudden pokes his chest out, he struts along like he's Mr. Cheese. You be careful. Because one day that chest will be there no more. I'm saying this, by what we say, by what we do, by how we look. Here it is, by the attitude that we share. The attitude that we share. The spies went down to spy on Canaan. Only two came back with a good report. Only two said, hey, we can do it. The others said, man, there's giants in the land. We can't do it. And can I tell you, you're always going to have giants in your Christian life. There's always going to be something, someone that tries to discourage you. Something, someone that's going to try to get in your path and stop you. It said here, if you will, in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, the letter of the law killeth, listen to it now, but the spirit giveth life. What's your spirit about it? Come on. Preacher gets up and he preaches a scolding message and he says, hey, this is what the Bible says and this is what we ought to do. Amen. Do you take it as being helpful or hurtful? really depends on your spirit. My Bible says when you rebuke a scorner, that's a critical person, he'll hate thee. But if you rebuke a wise person, they're going to love you all the more. Yeah. Hey, thank God for the parents in here tonight that have enough guts to say no. Thank God for the parents in here that have some rules that say this is when you're going to return home and there's no bargaining chip in it. Thank God for that. Those parents do not hate you, they love you. By the way, you were given to your parents only for them to be able to direct your life. Not somebody else's parents. God gave you, and God in his will knew who your parents should be. Oh, but they're not wise like somebody else. Then you must not need that type of wisdom. Well, they just don't dress as sharp as somebody else. Well, then maybe you don't need that type of sharpness in your life. Come on. God never makes mistakes. I'm saying by your attitude. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Bible says, now the Lord, it says, is a spirit, capital S. And where the spirit of the Lord is, capital S, there's liberty. Come on. All of a sudden, we have a youth conference, and we got some of the greatest speakers in America that preach at our youth conference. And can I tell you what happens? All of a sudden, man, the preaching is straight, and now a young person begins, and they begin to tighten up. You know, you can tell something's not right on the inside. Why? Because what's on the inside eventually would come out. I've said often, if you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out. If you squeeze something that's sweet, sweetness comes out. If you squeeze something that's bitter, bitterness comes out. Whatever is in you when you're under pressure will be revealed as it's squeezed out of you. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 29, the Bible says, he that is hasty in spirit exalteth folly. So don't rush. Don't hurry. Don't say, I've got to make a decision right now. Got to make it right now. If I don't make it right now, I just don't know what I'm going to do. You'll probably make a wrong decision. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, the Bible says, the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Somebody wrote this years ago, the little chap who follows me. A careful man I want to be, a little fellow follows me. I do not dare go astray, for fear he'll go in the same way. I cannot once let it escape his eyes. Whatever he sees me, that will be his ties. Like me, he says, he's going to be that little chap who follows me. I must remember as I go, though summer suns and winter snows, I am a building for years to be for that little chap that follows me. We have little eyes that follow us. You say, but it's all right because after all, I'm a teenager. And I can make my own choices. What about the little chap that follows you? But you understand, I'm the man of the house, and I can do what I want to do. What about that little one that's in your house that follows you? We can cast a shadow by what we say, by what we do, the way we look, the attitude we display. Here it is. By where we go, we can cast a shadow. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. I tell the story, I'll not tell it in length, but I remember when I got saved, all the way up until age 18, I'd be sent by my dad down to the White House. It wasn't the White House in Washington, D.C., it was the White House on Maple Grove Road. That's where my dad bought all of his beer, all of his booze. And so before the days of getting saved, Daddy would say, Mike, I want you to go down. I remember going down there. I started living with my parents at the age of 6. Didn't even know much about them before the age of 6. They came over to pick me up from the farm. I moved into their house. At the age of 7, I was already riding my bike. It was about a quarter of a mile down from her house. And my dad would call Bob, that was the bartender, and say, Mike's coming down. He would have the sack ready, and I would go in. I'd pick up the sack. I did that for years. Even after I got my when my car, it was Dave's car, I would borrow Dave's car because I didn't have a car at the time, and I'd take Dave's car down, and I'd pick up the booze and stuff that my dad wanted. After I got saved, nobody ever told me not to go to the bar. Just didn't feel right. I'm just saying it just didn't feel right. Are you that way? All of a sudden something comes across your screen, it's in your living room, and it just doesn't feel right. All of a sudden you get in the car and somebody turns on the wrong music and it just doesn't click, man. It doesn't feel right. Well, that's the way it was with me. Boy, I went back and I told my daddy, I said, Dad, I can't do that no more. I used to be in track and field. We took state champs 3 years in a row. And I'd do the Flosbury flop and the running and the jumping. And I remember we would have competition and we would always jump for kegs of beer. I remember that. I'd always win. And I'd jump for that keg of beer and I'd take it home. My dad was so happy. But I remember after I got saved, I said, I can't do that no more. I told my daddy, I said, I love you so much, Daddy. I don't want to help you commit slow suicide. I don't want to do that. I think you ought to quit drinking. I think you ought to quit smoking. And he said, I think you ought to mind your own business. I said, but Daddy, I can't jump for that beer no more. It's just not right. I'm saved now. I'm a Christian now. I remember getting backhand and all sorts of stuff. But I said, Daddy, I just can't do that no more. I just can't do that no more. It's just not right for me to do anymore. I just can't do that no more. Now, wait a minute. Listen, you know, later on, after my daddy started getting under conviction about salvation, you know, he started to talk to me about those very same things that I stood up for as a young believer, didn't have any sense about how to do it, didn't know much about the Bible at all. But because I took my little stand here and my little stand here and my little stand here, my daddy's heart started to open up to say there must be something different in his religion than what's in my religion. Then later on, Daddy got saved. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you, the places that you go do make a difference. I'm saying the things you say. I'm saying what you do. I'm saying how you look. I'm saying the attitude that you display. I'm saying the places that you go. No boy and a girl ought to be alone in a car by themselves. You ought not be walking out on the parking lot if you're not married and it's dark outside. Together, boy and girl, be careful. We're just trying to help you. We're not trying to be some strict type of people. We're just saying we love you. We're just saying, man, we want you to make it. You know, I've performed 26 weddings since I've been pastor here. I'm saying, man, we just want you to make it. And we're saying that you can make it if you just decide that's what you want to do. They always say that the geese fly in a V. Somebody said the reason they fly in a V is because one geese is going to encourage another one. They say that 71% of that which is their upsurge in power comes from the front and creates a wave through the air. And it gives all the other geese that are following a natural lift because it creates a circuit of surge, a circuit of lift. You know what that tells me? That tells me if a teenager will live right. You know what that tells me? That tells me if a college kid will live right. You know what that tells me? That tells me, hey, if an adult will live right, you create a surge for somebody else that's following you. They don't have to work as hard, and they don't have to fight the devil as much, and they don't have to stand all by themselves. I'm saying it ought to be about time that some people in our church decide you're not going to live for yourself any longer, but you're going to live for God and others. It's funny about the geese. You know, I think that how they go, quack, quack, is that a geese? That's a duck. How's it go? Come on. Stand up. Come over here. help me, Brother Mason. How's it go?
Wah, wah.
Thank you. You know what that is? That's Brother Jonathan imitating the geese. But you know what that is? That's all the other geese in the back that's saying, hey, you can do it. Keep it up. You can do it. We got you. We understand. You're done now.
You got it.
It's finished.
You got it.
Okay. Okay. You are a dead goose. Goose is cooked. All right, wait a minute. All right, what does that do? That creates a, come on. That's why when preachers come here, they love the preacher. We had Dr. John C. that just preached our missions conference, and Dr. Bob Smith. Man, they came, and man, it was great to see Brother Ortiz's boys come, and David and Danny that came. Danny, of course, works on staff there, and they came, and they sat over there and just enjoyed the preaching, and others that came that week and just enjoyed the preaching, and the missionaries that was here, and you know, and the preacher that got up to preach, wow. You know, and our people stand. You say, why do we do that, preacher? Why do we stand and clap? Because they need encouragement. They need to be able to go to church where somebody believes in them and somebody says, it's okay. By the way, you do it at ball games. You do it for a president. Why in the world can you not do it for a visiting man of God? I'm saying this. I'm saying tonight, by where you go, by where you go. You know, the things that you do to be able to influence. You know what they say about these geese? Very interesting. I studied the geese. Here's what they say. They say when one gets wounded, he never goes down alone. There's always another one that will come down and stay beside him until he can recuperate or there's no hope. See, they're a team. They're a team. And by the way, nobody ought to be a Superman in our church. We're a church family. We laugh together. We sacrifice together. We cry together. We get victory after victory together. We go forward together. That's what's called a church. Let me give you one last thing. I said, you can cast the right type of shadow by what you say, what you do, how you look. Attitude that you give off, where you go, here it is, by what we are, by what we are. A pastor friend of mine was trying to have a big day. He invited the postman over and over again. By the way, it's postman, not postperson. Amen. Invited the postman over and over again and said, you need to come, you need to come, you need to come. Postman said, I'm not interested, I'm not interested. He kept watching the post. Mail as it would come to the pastor's mailbox, post office. He was the one that would help to separate it and put it in. He said, I kept watching it and watching it and watching it. He said, I watched it for 1 year and you didn't have any dirty material that came to you. Now, I'll visit your church. I'm saying this. I'm saying by what we are. Genesis chapter 18, as I finish up, Genesis chapter 18 and verse 19, the Bible says, for I know him that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord and do justice and judgment. He said, I know him. God said, I know him. How does God know you? What does God say about your house? How does God know you? Mike Ray just buried his dad. His dad, if he would have made it, of course, into April, I think that he would have been right at 90 years of age. Brother Ray, of course, one of our speakers for youth conference, and every year does a good job. But he said, I remember when my dad turned over state evidence against the mafia of Louisiana. They handcuffed him. They took his testimony, but then they put him in protective custody because he's the one that turned state evidence. He said, they watched the house for 6 months. Finally, after watching the house for 6 months, he said, I remember the FBI came in and told my mother, thank you for being faithful to your husband. Looked over at my dad. He said, I remember to this day, the FBI told my dad, you have a very faithful wife. You ought to thank God for what you have. somebody's watching. There was the Eastern Airline jumbo jet that was heading to the Everglades of Florida. It was flight 401. It was coming from New York down to Miami, and all of a sudden, a little light went out. But one of the guys that was in the third seat started hitting the light. Wasn't sure if the landing gear was on. Started hitting the light. All of a sudden, now the assistant pilot came back. Wasn't sure. He was hitting the light. They had it on autopilot, so the pilot felt safe. He came back, started hitting the light, and the plane crashed over a light that did not give the right signal. What happened was they left their post. What happened was there was a lot of people that died on that airline. Here it is, the Midwestern Fair, last example. Midwestern Fair, they always had the old-fashioned horse-pulling competition. Had those big old Clydesdales, man. These Clydesdales are known for pulling thousands and thousands of pounds. It came time for the sled pull. The grand champion had pulled 4,500 pounds. The runner-up, 4,400 pounds. They had an idea. Let's put them together. Because if we put the grand champion together and the runner-up together, 4,500 pounds, 4,400 pounds, they'll at least pull 9,000 pounds. They put them together, and to their amazement, they pulled 12,000 pounds. You can do more together than you can do separately. We can do more together in serving Jesus Christ. We can do more together in advancing the cause of Christ. We can do more together in giving out the gospel together than we can do separately. Did it ever occur to you how important you are? Good. Ever occur to you? Ever occur to you somebody's watching you? Ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you somebody's listening to you? Did it ever occur to you? Did it ever occur to you that somebody is studying you? Did it ever occur to you how important you are to everyone that's around you? Let me ask you a question tonight. What type of shadow are you casting? What type of shadow are you casting? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.